Our reading this morning is from Romans chapter 4, verses 13 to 25. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope he believed, against hope, that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No, unbelief made him waver, considering the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, it was counted to him, were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. The word of the Lord.
Would you please stand as Cad reads to us the gospel?
The Lord be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus passed on from there. He saw a man called Matthew and sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? But when he heard it, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. While he was saying these things to them, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him. My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, if I only touch his garment, I will be made well. Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, take heart, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And instantly, the woman was made well. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping. They laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand. And the girl arose, and the report of this went through all the district. The Gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
O God, take our lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and fill them with love for you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Well, good morning, little T's. Let's try that again. Good morning, little T's. It's so great to be back. The last time I was here for confirmation was in 2022, and as Tim spoke this morning, I had an opportunity going a couple of years ago to the UK with Tim and a few other clergy from the Diocese of Toronto to see all the work that was happening in the UK, and amazed of how the Spirit is moving, not just there, but here as well. And it's always an opportunity for me to come here to give thanks for your leadership, especially to your pastors, Tim and Karen and Andrew and James. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You, Tim, I said this earlier, you have a profound gift of being able to guide this community through some of the most difficult and tricky times in our era, especially going through COVID and coming through the other end with a real sense of purpose and awe and wonder. You bring so much energy and creativity and faith, profound faith, that is stirring in this community, but also throughout our diocese. We are so grateful to you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. There's something about leadership. He's not going to like that. There's something about leadership. It's been my experience that the Holy Spirit will always bring you into places of discomfort in order for you to experience the blessing. And the blessing comes not on our terms. It's always on God's terms. Thank you for that applause. That is a deep blessing, I know, for Tim and the whole team. Thank you, thank you, thank you. At the beginning of every service, we start with the words, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." And you say, it's more than a good morning. It comes from the second letter of Paul to the church in Corinth, chapter 13, verse 14. And it's a deliberate invitation to step into the realm of God, into the grace of God, into the love of Jesus, and into the community, the fellowship of the communion of the Holy Spirit. It's a deep invitation to step away and then to step in. To step away for a time from our lives, our daily hurts, our daily concerns, our work, the toil at school, the difficulties that we have in our own lives, in our own families, in our own communities, and to step away from ordinary time into the realm of God time, into the realm of Kairos, to step into the stillness, into the dream, into the love, into the grace, into the fellowship of community, and to remind ourselves who we are and whose we are, made in God's image. If you're anything like me, as I said earlier this morning, by about Wednesday, I've forgotten that last hymn. There was enough to help me bounce through the early part of the week, and then by Wednesday, I've forgotten. And the concerns of the world kind of take over, and then by Friday or Saturday, I stumble into worship, and it takes a great amount of effort to stumble into worship because you want to look good. And you want to be able to bring all of the broken bits of your life together in a presentable way. And then as soon as worship begins, we experience that sense of stepping into God's realm, the way that God sees us. We put away the phones, we put away the laptops, and we enter into a very low-tech gathering where we listen to a word, and we listen for a word, and we break bread, and we pour out wine. And we do that together, and then we're sent out. And every Sunday is an opportunity for us to capture once again the dream that God has for all of us, for the whole of creation. And when we capture that dream, we can't help but say, yes, I'm in. When we say yes to our baptismal covenant, the kingdom of God comes near. When we say yes that we share our time, our talent, and treasure, the church of God comes to life. When we say, yes, I will love my neighbor as myself, and even deeper, I will love my enemy as myself, or I will love those who are difficult to love or who have fallen through the cracks, when I do that, the world turns, the gospel transforms, and life comes back. And today, seven among us in this space are renewing their baptismal covenant and saying a deeper yes as they take on confirmation. We have Clara and Elizabeth. Just put your hands up. Clara, Elizabeth, Kingsley, Emma, Noah, Ollie, and Zach. And as you say a deeper yes, we say a deeper yes with you. And you begin a journey in a different way today. Let me tell that story in a slightly different way. There's an old Hasidic Jewish tale that talks about long, long, long ago, there was a cobbler, a man who fixed shoes and slippers and sandals and boots, who lived in a very small village, and people came from hither and yon to see him and to have their shoes repaired. But they would come mostly because he was so wise. He was considered more wise than the bishop, more wise than the rabbi, more wise than the doctor, more wise than the mayor. And it's said that he could tell exactly the burdens you were carrying by the way your shoes were scuffed or worn. And so he was considered the wisest. And one day a young woman came in with a broken pair of sandals, and she found herself pouring her heart out to him as he looked at the sandals. And then he gave her a word. And a week later she came with her little chit, and she handed it in for her sandals, and she said to the cobbler, "I want to know how you became so wise." And he said, "Well, that's simple. Every morning I say my prayers. And then I go to my dresser and I have two pieces of paper on my dresser. And what is written on one piece of paper are these words. You are the reason why the sun and the moon have their being. And I take that piece of paper and I put it in my left pocket. And then on the other piece of paper are written the words, you are but dust and ashes. And I put that one in my right pocket. And I go on with my day. And sometimes there are days that are really hard, when I feel depressed and forlorn, when I do not feel appreciated, and I pick out that one in my left pocket and I read it, you are the reason why the sun and the moon have their being, and I remember who I am. And then there are days when I feel smug, entitled, and self-important. And I take out that other piece of paper and I read them, you are but dust and ashes. And I remember who I am and whose I am. And then I take those little pieces of paper and I put them on my dresser and I say my prayers at night. And then I start all over. When we come into this low-tech gathering, we are presented with a word that reminds us who we are and a meal of bread and wine that we take on our journey. The blessing of God's presence in the simplest of things that are enough to sustain us on the journey. And there are times when we lose our way or we are told that we don't quite fit in. We hear about at least three of those characters in our gospel reading this morning. The first is Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector. You were not a popular person in first century Palestine as a tax collector. You were scorned and not trusted. You were scorned and not trusted by your neighbors because you were gouging them and you were sharing information about them to the empire. You were not trusted by the empire because you were willing to sell out your neighbors. You were not welcomed in the synagogue. So imagine Matthew sitting in the tax booth. Nobody really wants to go to the tax booth. But one day Jesus shows up. And he says to Matthew, follow me. No explanation. Just like James and John and Peter and Andrew who drop their nets and they follow. Perhaps a deeper hunger. Perhaps a deeper want to fit in, to be home in some way. And he gathers together all of his friends. Very much like the Samaritan woman who left her water jar and ran back to the village and then came back with all of her friends to say, meet the man who knows everything about me. Everything. And imagine that dinner table of tax collectors with Jesus, probably hearing for the first time, you are the reason why the sun and the moon have their being. And you are but dust and ashes. And there's a better way to travel this life. And the Pharisees take Jesus on because he's becoming unclean by joining them at the table. There's a lesson in here for the church. Matthew doesn't come to the church goes to Matthew. The church is called to go into those places that are difficult to navigate for us. To be present to those who are lost and have fallen through the cracks. And there at that table, he says, I'm here to bring healing. Not everyone needs a physician. I look not for sacrifice, but for mercy. And in the middle of this moment comes Jairus. Before I go to Jairus. For those of us who are being confirmed today and for those of us who have been on this journey a long time, there are moments in our lives when we are like Matthew. There are moments when we have lost our integrity and we have taken too much or skimmed too much off the top. That we've looked only at life as what we receive and not what we share. There are moments when we find ourselves being quite lost either in business or in our careers or at school. And Jesus reminds us on a Sunday morning, there is a better way to find your way home. Back to Jairus. He was the head of the temple. He wasn't a priest, but he was an official, like an elder. Somebody who was a man of faith and deep prominence in the congregation. And imagine that moment when he breaks in around that table that is seen to be unworthy by the other temple officials and throws himself down to pray to Jesus to save his daughter who is dying. And in our story, he is given the desire of his prayers in what he hopes for his daughter, and that is renewed life. And sometimes when we pray, those are the answers to our prayers too. And sometimes they are prayers that are answered in what we need, that surpass our understanding, that are answered in this life partially, but are confirmed to us in eternity. And no matter where we find ourselves on our life's journey, no matter if you are a person of prominence or not, all of us are equal as we bow and kneel before Jesus, asking for the same desire of answering our prayers. That sometimes we have to move beyond convention and to remind ourselves that in God's presence, in Jesus' presence, Jesus always is present to us in a realm of grace, in a realm of love and community. And finally, a woman who's been hemorrhaging for 12 years. Imagine the hurt and the sorrow and the pain that she's carried for so long. But like the tax collectors, she was not able to go into temple because she would have been deemed unclean. Somewhere between betwixt and between. And the yearning that she has just simply to know herself more than just I am dust and ashes that is constantly reinforced for her. And imagine the deep desire she has to reach out just to touch the hem of his cloak, and she is made whole. A few weeks ago now, I was in another one of our parishes, and after the service, I noticed a woman who I knew from a previous congregation. And after the service, we had a chance to reconnect. And she pulled me aside at one point after we had a bit of small talk, and she said, Andrew, you may not remember this, but years ago, I came to you because I had debilitating migraines, and I asked you to pray for me. She said within a week of that moment of prayer, the headache stopped and they've never come back. She said, I know how that happened. Others might think differently, but I want you to know of the grace that I experienced in that moment. The needs that we have, we often keep to ourselves as members of a community. And we are asked to share those as we are able and to seek the comfort and the support of the fellowship of the Holy Communion and the Holy Spirit. For the seven who are being confirmed today is always a sense of new journey that's beginning. You take with you two pieces of paper and you take with you a morsel of bread and a sip of wine. And you take with you a family and community. You take with you a word that will always sustain you. You will take with you a presence of Jesus who walks with you. And if you find yourself getting lost as the characters in our gospel, Jesus will always help you find your way home. May God bless you and keep you on this journey that we all take together. Amen.
You've just listened to a podcast from Little Trinity Church in Toronto. Please check out our website at www.littletrinity.org to find out more about our ministries and services.